Okay, we are calling the Thursday, July 23rd, 2020 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting. It is 7:13. Again, we're committing, we're conducting this meeting via Zoom video conference. And I will read the roll call for everything, including the call to order here. Commissioner Prestis is absent. Commissioner Forehand?
Here.
Commissioner Raina Ogden is absent. Chairman Franek?
Here.
Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Commissioner Pritz is absent. And Commissioner Sager?
Here.
Did we lose one there? No. Okay. My computer changed screens, and I thought maybe we dropped somebody off, but we're good.
And the dog.
No.
Great.
Great. John, are there any members of the public present for public testimony?
Thank you, Chairman Franek. There are no members present, and additionally, worth noting, we did not receive any comments in writing.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes for June 25th, 2020. Does anyone have any comments to the draft minutes?
I did not have any comments.
I do not.
No. I do not.
I don't.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Do you want to take a roll vote or just a...
I apologize, Dave. Thank you so much, Jim. Commissioner Forehand? Sorry. Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next, consideration of a certificate of appropriateness for an application to demolish 7620 Madison.
Great. I'll introduce this a little bit. Hopefully you guys got a chance to look over the application that's in your packet, but I'm going to work through it together all here so that everybody's kind of caught up to speed. I think at least some of these members, probably just Chairman Franek and Commissioner Raina Ogden, were on the board when the village instituted the Madison Street TIF district. At that time, former Commissioner Chairman Zarowski was at chair, and I know that we talked about this a little bit then when the commission first took a look at that tax and administrative fire region district in 2016 at the time. I believe this is the only property in the TIF district that is historically significant. It went for sale and the village purchased it. And so that's kind of where we bring to today. So again, I'm going to work through this application and then happy to take any questions. We can kind of chat through this together just so that everybody's on the same page with where we're at here. The process is that all the timelines, the 60 days for the public hearing and the 6 months for the pullout from the possible demolition delay all starts with the acceptance of a completed application, right? All those dates are started with when the application is deemed complete. Additionally, there's one requirement number 8, that is such other information that the commission or the village administrator deems relevant for it. So that's one we'll talk about too. But again, the goal here today is just to talk about the application and either deem it complete, and then we will talk about setting a public hearing, or deem it incomplete. And in that case, specify specific standards by which the application would be made complete. So let's talk about it a little bit here. Village River Forest brings forward this application for a certificate of appropriateness for the demolition of 7620 Madison Street, a property listed on the village's significant property list. The property was listed for sale and purchased by the village in December of 2017 for redevelopment purposes. The village also owns the properties located at 7618 Madison Street, 7614 Madison Street, 7612 Madison Street. Those other three buildings, visually as you look at it from the front, look like a couple of separate buildings. Internally, they're all connected, but again, all formally known as Lutheran Child and Family Services, LCFS. The village also owns 10 Lathrop and 11 Ashland. Those are two homes across the alley, the two southernmost homes on the west side of Lathrop and the east side of Ashland. While all these are being proposed to be demolished, only 7620 Madison is a significant property. The property is in the Madison Streets TIF Tax Increment Financing District, TIF District, established in 2016. The survey notes the reason for significance is excellent mid-century modern style example of stone screen and extensive art glass, all with excellent integrity. The property was built in 1960 and the architect was Hollibird and Root. And so here is where we get through the numbered application requirements. And if you were to reference back to the ordinance, you would see that the requirements in the ordinance are numbered as well. So typically I ask our applicants to number them just as we try to line them up. The applicant's the Village of River Forest and the owner of the property is the Village of River Forest. The street address is 7620 Madison. The legal description, I don't think anybody actually needs, but it's there. It's from the Plata survey. So then we get into the photographs that I went out and took. These are kind of the site plan, the elevations on the fronts of Madison Street from Ashland, things like that, and kind of show some of the adjacent buildings. It's worth noting that the application requirement is for elevation drawings and site plan drawn ones. Over the last couple of years, the last couple of applications, in some instances, the Historic Preservation Commission has accepted pictures in place of elevation drawings. They are pictures of the different elevations and pictures of site plans as a way to kind of understand what's there today. Obviously, the village does not have these drawings because of because it's a building that we plan to demolish, but that's for your consideration tonight, too. Just kind of working through the pictures, there's a couple that are of the site plan, the Plata survey, kind of giving you an idea. Again, 7620 is that L shape on the far west side of some of those works. It does show you the elevation facing Madison, which is the south elevation. And I just took a couple detail shots of the glass and of the windscreen, at least what I understood to be a windscreen. Just to kind of, since that was called out in the R survey, just kind of those two things. Notes on the glass, there are panels that are broken in each of the three windows, but not all of the panels. They're not totally falling apart. They've been resealed, it looks like, but there are some wear and tear from over the years. Per Chairman Franick's request, I did go out there to kind of further investigate the religious symbols that are in the windows, and they are etched into those panels from the panels that they're in. Then we see the windscreen. Again, just some detail of that. And then the west elevation, which is the side of the street that faces Ashland Avenue, and the north elevation, which faces the back alleyway between this building and what is 11 Ashland. Continuing with the application, it's kind of a detail of what we propose to do. The proposed work is to demolish the structure entirely, along with the structures located at 7618 Madison Street, 7614 Madison Street, 7612 Madison Street, 10 Lathrop, and 11 Ashland. The village will then market the entire property to developers for redevelopment. The village received a state grant to fund the demolition. Once the grant agreement is approved, a determination can be made to the timing of the demolition. And then it also specifies for disclosures of any architects or developers involved in the project, and no architect or developer are involved in the project at this time. Obviously, after the properties were demolished using that state grant money, the goal would be to market it and get a developer involved at that time. Does anybody need a quick and dirty rundown of Tax Increment Financing District, TIF districts? Are we all familiar enough with that?
Jim, I'm good.
I know you've sat through plenty of TIF hearings, so you're familiar.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm fine.
Great. Then I guess at this point, I'll kind of flip it back to you, and I'm happy to talk through any questions or point me in the direction of what you'd like to talk about.
All Well, it sounds like there is quite a history to this project. The architect that is certainly a storied architect in Chicago, which makes it more of an important building for me. And we certainly don't see many examples of this style of architecture in River Forest. So I went out and walked around the building yesterday. Actually, it's in decent shape, to be honest, but I didn't get inside. I'm kind of curious what the temperature of the room is here in terms of this project and what some of the history has been in terms of comments from the commission.
And on that note, Commissioner Forehand, just because Chairman Franek and I talked about this a little bit earlier this week, interestingly enough, our survey doesn't note the architect. It's blank. I'm not sure if it was by omission or if it was unknown for some reason. I went and pulled permits from when it was written in 1960. According to those permits, that's the architect, Hollibird and Root. But obviously, I wasn't able to review any drawings or anything like that. But according to the building permits that were issued, that was the architect.
Yeah, I mean, Hollibird and Root, they've been around since the late 1800s, still around today. One of the few firms that are still at it. So I think that does add to the importance of the structure.
Yes, John, one of my questions would have John Forehand. It would be, can you educate me, perhaps us, if other people have the same question that I do, what makes this a particularly distinctive example of mid-century modern architecture?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, the building is, I think the main thing that jumps out at me is the screen. Whether this is a superb example of the type, I probably would say no, but that screen is, you see a lot of that in this 1960s mid-century modern look. I don't know that I'm answering your question, but that in terms of details, that's the one that you do see throughout the history of the mid-century modern architect. The stained glass, I wouldn't call that part of the mid-century modern necessarily. And also you have to look at just the way the volumes of the building are put together. It's very, very linear. It's, flat roofs, obviously. I would say I'm not a scholar of the mid-century modern, but certainly there's certainly details that jump out at me as being important.
Okay, that's helpful because we haven't dealt with that many mid-century modern homes or commercial structures, and I'm trying to just sort of wrap my arms around because going back and looking at the comments within the survey, they're a little sparse in terms of what was noted, other than the fact, I believe the stained glass was mentioned. I don't recall that the window was mentioned. Perhaps I'm wrong. But that is, in fact, helpful to sort of understand and put it in context.
Yeah, it's starting to become a little bit more of a popular style now.
Do we have in the survey many, I don't know how many mid-century buildings? Because those would have been added when the survey was done, because obviously the earlier one was, they would have been too new in construction to be included. And I don't think there's very many even in the village.
Carly, it came through a little soft on my end, but I think your question was, do we know how many mid-century modern buildings we have in the village?
No, that were placed on the survey when this was done, because obviously, when the first survey was done in the 70s, they wouldn't have been there because they would have been too, you know, too new for it. They would have had to be 50 years old. I don't think they're very many. First of all, they're not that many in the village. And, you know, that are significant in itself. I would doubt if they're more than, what, three or four? I have no idea. I'd have to flip through.
Yeah, I'm flipping through the survey. I do see a couple other 1407 Bonnie Bray, 1227 Franklin. That looks like it's
yeah, there's certainly a couple residences. I don't know of any commercial buildings.
Yeah, I think 1227, 1223 Bonnie Bray, or I'm sorry, Franklin, which are the Doubleman houses, 811 Franklin. I'm just searching for it, Carla, in the survey. I'm finding maybe 10 or so examples. The temple on Harlan.
Apartment, perhaps they're not condo buildings with a hear no evil, speak no evil, say no evil, reliefs.
Yeah.
Right. I think may fall into that category.
Yeah.
Those are on Division, like 7300 blocks of Division, those see no evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but sort of our purpose tonight is to understand not necessarily the merits of the application, but rather do we have enough information within which to say the information is complete so we can schedule a public hearing, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I mean, the goal is to consider the application complete, and in the event we don't specify what is going to make it complete, and I think you hit it on the head, what other information is do you need? And we've talked about this with a couple applicants before, things that we can or can't ask for on that, but obviously I would certainly do what I can to get you whatever we think we need from the village's side. You know, I don't think I have any other information waiting in the wings that would be helpful to you. Commissioner Forehand, I do have an understanding of the interior condition of the building, but I just don't think it's relevant. So, you know, from that perspective, the HPC's charge is really the exterior of the building. The interior condition is, you know, poor, but mostly just from unkeptness. And I don't know that that's really relevant to what we're doing here, so.
I guess I
beforehand, did you see any, or do you have any questions about the structure from the exterior that you saw in terms of whether it's intact, very intact, not intact, compromised, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, from a quick walk around, it looks like it's relatively intact, that if anything it's maintenance, deferred maintenance. Now I have to admit I didn't look at it that closely. The only thing that comes to mind for me is I've been involved in some demolition of homes that had extensive stained glass, and there's maybe it's worth asking if there's any information on who the artist was or who did the stained glass. I'd hate to find out later that was done by somebody of note and we've thrown it into the dumpster. You know, I would say from looking at it myself, it's not necessarily the greatest example, but maybe that's certainly something worth looking at.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That was one of the things I was going to ask, if anybody had thought of, you know, preserving the windows.
Yeah, I think on both those things, right? So, you know, trying to figure that out or making an effort toward that, I'm certainly happy to do. You know, I guess I'd be curious if anybody has any ideas of how to investigate that. I can certainly pour through permits and see if there's anything that has indication of that. But I'm not sure beyond that what my next step would be. But I'm certainly open to ideas. And then same thing, Carla, you just mentioned, you know, preserving the glass. Chairman Franek and I talked about that a little bit too. I don't think that the village is opposed to that. Certainly would come down to finding the right suitor. you know, due to the nature of them having religious symbols, they don't make a public art piece, but, you know, certainly open to other ideas on that. So I don't think that anything's off the table there. And again, just as we think about this too, right, here's a good example just to kind of frame the rest of the conversation. Say we wanted to include, you know, questioning who the artist of the stained glass was, is something like that. We'd want to put, you know, some parameters around, you know, we're going to ask staff to make, you know, a reasonable attempt to find that out by looking through permits, things like that, so that it is a finite thing that can be determined to be complete and the application can be completed. So just things like that.
John, was the Lutheran Child and Family Services the original occupant? Do we know?
You know, they're noted on the survey. Let me check, Dave, if I see if I can get that. I don't, I can't confirm that off the top of my head, no.
Must have been some religious station, though, because of the, you know, the religious symbols in the window.
Where I'm headed in that direction is if, in fact, they were, and maybe it's shown as owner or some notation on one of the permits, perhaps they would know who executed the stained glass, because it's possible that in many instances churches have the tendency to go back to the same artisans, whether it's for stained glass or plaster work or stone work or whatever, and perhaps they would have a sense, because I think that's an excellent question that's been posed.
John, you could also, and I don't know if it would reap any fruit, but go back to Halliburton Root and tell them, you know, they may have some records. You know, it was a long time ago, but it's possible. Might be worth talking to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, beyond the stained glass, I in my mind, the application, I would certainly accept the photographs for elevations, and no need for the village to draw up elevations. But in terms of the application, other than the stained glass, I can't think of anything else that would be missing.
Dave, just to jump back in with that answer, the owner of the building and the applicant on the permit in 1960 when it was built is Lutheran Child Welfare Association. So I think we can be reasonably certain that that's LCFS under a different name.
Yeah. FKA, formerly known as. Thanks for the quick search. Is there anything distinctive about the construction of the windscreen that would be artisanal? John?
Yeah, I mean, it is a distinctive pattern. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So, yeah, it certainly was a customized thing. It's not something that was off the shelf, that's for sure. You know, in its day, I'm sure it was an expensive detail. It was all limestone, and looks like it was well executed.
Do you know whether there were any particular Chicago area artisans who would have done that work who were of note? In other words, are we talking about the same kind of potential issue that we would be with stained glass, where if it was an artisanal studio of note, then it would carry additional significance?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Again, I think my first call would be to the architects, and probably none of them have any history to it. But, they might be interested in looking at it themselves.
And by looking at it themselves, can you kind of expand on that thought a little
bit? Yeah, I mean, by, you know, if I would say if, you know, if I worked for Halliburton Root and I got a call from a village that, you know, one of our buildings was being torn down, it was a mid-century modern, then I would go out and maybe research it myself and see what is significant. That's all I can think. Yeah, it's just those few little elements that make it a little bit of a unique building. Whether it's worth saving, you know, that, I don't know. But
the architectural firm involved kind of elevates it to additional level.
It does, yeah. I mean, they were known for doing some of the original skyscrapers in Chicago.
John Wilborn Root.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just curious that it didn't list that in the survey. To be honest, one of the reasons why I looked it up is just because I saw that it was built in 1960, so I figured we would have some record of it. The survey does note that there's an under Architect 2, there was additions by August J. Engler. Not sure if that name's of equal familiarity or not, but just another, that is what the survey notes.
Yeah. Not, that doesn't ring a bell to me, but it could be a transition piece of architecture within the firm, you know, moving it from into the mid-century modern. But yeah, I would love to see a little more research on the artistic aspect.
Curious, John, do you know whether Halliburton and Root's practice involved a lot of mid-century modern work? I mean, I know that they're famous for skyscrapers and other things, and they're one of the seminal architectural firms in the city going back to the 1880s, 1890s. But I guess the question is, you know, is this something they were known for, or is this kind of like a one-off because someone asked them?
Right. It's a good question, and I don't know that. I certainly know them for their earlier work. I think I will myself do a little more research on this to see, but I certainly don't know Halliburton Root as a mid-century modern architect.
So I guess the question is, one, does anyone else have any other comments and questions? And if not, or, you know, because, and I certainly don't want to foreclose any of those. If not, the question is, what do we want to task the village with obtaining further information so that we can say that the application is complete once we get the following info?
Yeah, I personally think what John had mentioned earlier about, you know, giving them a finite, you know, in regards to the stained glass, and, you know, see if there is additional information on stained glass artist, you know, to a reasonable level, and then I'd be satisfied.
In that reasonable level, we'll be checking with Halliburton Root, going back to the LCFS, and also checking permit applications. Is there anything else? Trying to drill down and make John's life a little easier.
Right, absolutely.
That's something where he's got a finite task to try to answer.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and like I said, if somebody else has got an idea, I'm certainly open to it. I'm just glass expert side here. So I just, you know, want to make sure that we think through what we can do, and that makes sense. You know, and I think we can do the same. If I'm going to Halliburton route and I'm going to LCFS, I'll ask them about the windscreen, you know, to, you know, if they have any thoughts on that. So, you know, further research of the stained glass and windscreen with LCFS, Halliburton route, and reviewing the permit application, something along those lines, just to review anything. You know, generally, just to kind of put the pen to paper here too, I mean, the reason why this part is important is just because while you don't have to exclusively base your decision in the public hearing about what's in the application, it's also not an opportunity for the commission to hit the pause button and say, wait a second, we need, you know, more information, because at that point, there's various deadlines and timelines that we meet throughout the process per the ordinance. So that's why we try to do this kind of upfront thing of thinking through, okay, we reasonably have what we need, you know, Commissioner Forehand, that certainly doesn't stop you from doing further research, you know, to kind of understand that just general, you know, we can't get to a public hearing, set a public hearing, and the commission says, well, actually, hold on, we should stop this, we need more information. So just to kind of clarify that part of it too, you know, and with houses, we've talked through, you know, various things of, well, you know, can we understand, you know, the various things on the block with the 700 block of William, things like that. So materials, all that certainly makes sense. So if I was going to word that, you know, I would say that, you know, the application would be deemed complete as proposed with the addition of research on the stained glass and window screen, including making contact with LCFS to determine if they have any knowledge of the artist, things like that, Halliburton route, and reviewing permit applications, something along those lines. Does that seem to kind of work with everybody?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Let me kind of pen this out here.
I had done some real quick research on it to see if the building showed up on any, you know, surveys of important buildings, and it really nothing came up. So I don't see it as, you know, a building that's being watched by anyone necessarily. You know, we just, yeah, again, the only thing I can think of is the art glass. I guess it always, I mean, the village wants to take it down just to have a blank slate for developers, right? They just want to be able to offer a clean site. You know, obviously, yeah.
That's right. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, and the village is works with development and developers because it's a landlocked town where, you know, the village has to get involved with tax and increment financing districts and things like that. In this case, the village believes that assembling these properties and demolishing them will make it more attractive to developers than if the developers were asked and tasked to do that themselves.
Do you know if the village realized that this was a significant property? Because they bought it in 2017.
Sorry, I made that out.
Does the village realize that this is a significant property?
Yes.
So that was the question, right, Carla?
Right. Did they realize it when they bought it?
Yeah, yeah. I do believe that was known.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you know, I think the commission knew that it was, you know, the same before it was purchased too, like I noted.
Yeah, I remember something about this a couple of years ago. Well, at least 3 years ago, so it came up at some point.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I remember it coming up when Tom Zurowski was chair, and maybe Carla, or maybe it was Commissioner Laurel McMahon at the time, took a look into, you know, what properties in the TIF district that was being established then were mm-hmm. historically significant and identified this one.
Yep.
We had the same conversation about most of the focus being on the stained glass. Give me just 1 second. Okay, and this is what I've wrote out. The application will be accepted as completed pending the addition of any findings of research completed on the stained glass and windscreen features, including contacting LCFS and Halliburton Root, as well as reviewing permit applications and other building documents that are available. Any additions or changes?
I think that's a nice finite list.
Yeah.
That's good to me.
Carla, that didn't make you out. Are you comfortable with that?
Very comfortable.
Okay. Then I would accept the so moved.
Is there a second? Actually, is there a motion?
I move, whatever.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
We all second.
Okay. I have Carla as the first and Jan as the second. Calling the roll, Chairman Franek.
Yes.
Commissioner Sager.
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand.
Yes.
Commissioner Graham-White.
Yes.
Great. If anybody else, you know, thinks of anything else or comes up with anything else, you know, let me know. Like I said, I'll certainly do whatever I can to help, and Chairman Franek and I will stay in touch as I try to make some contacts and work through this. So, thank you.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Thanks,
just so everybody knows too, once I get through that piece of it and we deem it complete, we'll start working on finding a date and time for the public hearing. I'll start working on notices for that. I'll review with the village's attorney any other practices we need to do for public hearings during COVID, things like that. And we'll get all those details worked out and I'll start getting that on everybody's schedules. But, I'm sure that, you know, Commissioner Sager and Commissioner Forehand are aware, but once we get into public hearing stuff, we just have to be extra on top of things and sensitive to processes because we're in these pseudo-legal proceedings that have tighter rules and regulations than our normal meetings. So we'll work through all that together.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Next on the agenda, additional ways to protect significant properties. Any thoughts since our last meeting?
No, I'll go ahead. Not at the moment. I think we're doing what we can at the Historical Society with the walks. I know that's minimal. And it just COVID-19 really has just kind of stopped everything. So I don't know that there's anything new, you know, that wasn't talked about months ago.
Yeah, I think we're kind of all in uncharted territory, and every civic group that I'm aware of has certainly significantly modified its public engagement practices, and many of them have set public engagement aside until such time as we get through and closer to the other side and closer to an end to the to the concerns that we all have. Does anybody else have any other thoughts about additional protections? If not, we'll move on to whether people have any other business they'd like to raise.
Not at this point, not when we're all sitting at home on our sofas or chairs, and really time has stopped. So.
Indeed.
Carla, I apologize. It was hard to make you out there again. Can you try one more time?
I'm saying nothing to say right now while we're all sitting at home on our chairs, and time just seems to have stopped, and we just need to wait.
Hopefully we'll all be back soon enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the only other piece of business then would be the scheduling of the next meeting.
Yeah, the regular meeting date in August would be August the 27th. And what I would propose, Chairman Franek, is that we plan to meet that night as a regular meeting. And should, you know, we can continue to evaluate it as this application's completed. Commissioner Forehand, sometimes we forego regular commission meetings when they butt up against public hearings, just to not meet back-to-back weeks and stuff like that. But at this point, I don't think we'll quite be ready then. So we'll plan to meet on August 27th as a regular meeting, and we can adjust that if necessary.
That sounds good, John.
Fine.
other than to wish everyone continued health and safety for you and your loved ones, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I second.
Is there a second?
I second.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Yes.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all. Appreciate everyone's flexibility and ability to make this happen and to divulge our own residential inner sanctums.
Notice
thank
I
you
didn't.
Very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.